Right, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Next week, we're going to start something for the month of February, I think, that will really help us. We're going to look at the aspect of prayer, but you're going to hear from four different folks from staff here at Miracle Life, different perspectives about prayer. And obviously, prayer is a private thing, biblical thing, and so we think it'll really help you to hear different aspects, different people, the way we pray and see Scripture. And so we're going to start that next week. It's going to be really, really helpful, we believe, to you. But this Sunday, just had in my heart, as our services are still a little shorter, as the cholera epidemic is coming to a close, yet there are still places in the city that are problems. So we'll let you out a bit early today. But I believe God wants to remind us today. He wants to exhort us today. And then there is going to be some direction for some of you today as we look at the Scriptures, that God is our provider. The Lord provides. And so we see this statement for the first time in Scripture. We certainly see his nature displayed, but this is the first time that we see this phrase was after Abraham and Sarah had this journey of faith that finally resulted in Isaac being born, the son of promise. God says, I am going to bless the world through your family, and the promise is through Isaac. So God made that very clear. And then not long after, as Pastor Williams said, everybody comes as a baby, but Isaac begins to grow up, and God says, I want you to sacrifice. I want you to give your only son to me as a sacrifice. And Abraham begins to go do that. And if you know this incredible account, that as he says, Lord, I'll do that, the angel of God stops him and says, Abraham, I've seen your heart, but there's still a sacrifice. There's still an altar there, and so they need an animal for the sacrifice, all right? So in Genesis 22, because now Isaac is no longer the sacrificial mammal person, all right? And we're not going to do another human this time, all right? So Genesis 22:13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. Everybody say he looked. All right. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket. All right. So he saw what was already there, and it was caught by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, Isaac appreciated that ram, right? Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord, or Yahweh, will provide, as it is this day. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So there was a ram in the thicket. Can you see here that God knew what Abraham needed? God knew it. And Abraham lifted up his eyes to see the provision of God. All right? So Abraham lifted his eyes, but God had already lifted up his eyes to see the need that Abraham would have. The thing about God that's so amazing, that is so different from us, is he sees the end from the beginning. He already knows what we need. We're going to see this later, before we ask. In fact, he knows the needs for the rest of your life. And I know we do a budget, and maybe you do a 5-year budget, but God's already done a 70-year budget for your life. He already knows what you need. And so God already saw, but now Abraham saw the provision that God had made for his life. Look at Matthew chapter 6, and this is what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. Isn't it sad that Jesus referred to the heathens that used vain repetitions? And now in 2018, we actually have Christians that use vain repetitions. All right, let's leave that to the heathens, okay? Don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. All right, so the length of the prayer is not the quality of the prayer, okay? Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. All right, so what we see in Scripture is that God is certainly okay with us presenting our needs to him, all right? But please don't think that your prayer is informative, okay? You know, you may have a friend that you are informing them about your need, but so you kind of don't have to give God the, you know, the two-hour version of the need because he saw the need already. In fact, he knew you had a need before you knew you had a need. Amen. All right. So we have in life many opportunities to look for help and for needs to be met in a variety of directions. All right. A variety of sources. You heard in that video, Dr. Chapepo mentioned that She was going through a horrible time in her life, and there was pain and there was frustration, okay? So she looked to a not a good place to have that need met, all right? Through alcohol, through forgetting about it, right? Have you discovered that doesn't meet the need? All right, sadly, it makes the need worse, okay? So we can look to many, many places for our needs to be met, for relationships and school fees. School fees, hallelujah, right? It's January still. Maybe you have a business and there needs to be startup capital. We are looking for wisdom. We need comfort in our life. There's so many areas of our life where we have legitimate, real needs. But God is asking us today to let himself be the Lord who provides, the Lord who meets the needs of our life. Look at Psalm 145. Now, why can we do this? Because he is perfectly capable of doing this. Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. Aren't you glad he does? He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you in hope. Why do we look to him in hope? You give them their food as they need it. This is the eyes of all. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. As we look out into the universe and we see the expanse of what God has done. As we look into the cells of living organisms and atoms, we see this incredible designer who made the universe. Wisdom that we could never comprehend. There are thousands and thousands of people all over the world. All they do is research. That's what they do for a living. And every day, every year, we figure out more of God. More of what he's done, all right? And so for God to make an earth, and he put us in it, and for that earth not to be able to sustain it, he's not too clever. No, folks, he is the sustainer. He is the provider. He is the one who can provide for every living thing on the earth. And so that's why we look to him in hope. Hope is confident expectation. So when we look to him, it's not a wish, right? You may call a certain person or knock on a certain door and you're wishing. This is Bible hope. Bible hope is not, well, maybe, that there is a confident expectation that God will do and provide what he said. He's a providing God. He's a sustaining God. And we see this depicted so wonderfully as God himself delivers his people from Egypt and Pharaoh's army. Don't you love what Moses said before the Red Sea split? He said, this army that you see today, you will see no more. Isn't that awesome? And certainly enough, they go across dry ground. Pharaoh's army is swallowed up. But now on the other side, they're in the wilderness. And God sustains his people without an economy, without jobs. He creates manna and gives it to his people. He causes water to come from a variety of places. And so he would say that in reminding them and future generations. He said, did not I feed your fathers in the wilderness? Because why? Because he is the Lord who provides. And so that is who he is. And we see this on display when Jesus came to the earth. So he was God made flesh, right? And remember his disciples, they were, there was a ministry engagement and it was kind of near the Sea of Galilee and they were kind of in the hills. And they said, Jesus, maybe we should let them go so they go into town and get some food. And he said, well, what do you have? He said, well, we just got a little boy's lunch, all right? He said, well, give it to me. And so with a little boy's lunch, he fed 5,000 people. Okay, that is not an allegory about sharing. That is the supernatural power of God. Just like in the wilderness, Jesus showed that God is here and God provides for people. Amen. So we see it throughout Scripture that God has this ability. Now, Jesus gave a wonderful discourse that not only shares that God can do this, but it gives us insight into why he does this for us. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And he showed us John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. And so here he is. He has demonstrated the Father, but here he is also describing the Father. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Can we pause there? Isn't that typically like the only thing we worry about? You know? You see nuclear weapons here and there and it's kind of like, don't worry about it. But what do we worry? We worry about our life, everyday life, the stuff of life. He describes what that is. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? All right? It is, but if you don't have it, it certainly can keep you up at night. Verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns. They don't have that capacity. They can't do that, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable? Everybody say valuable. To him than they are. How do we know your value? Well, God paid a price for you. He paid the price of his son. Jesus didn't die for birds. He died for people. And so we have a value to God that is far more than animals. Yet, God cares for them and feeds them. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God so wonderfully cares for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? All right, this trust that we're supposed to have in a caring Father. And really, Jesus kind of helped answer that question is, our faith and our trust in God is weakened when we really don't understand how much he cares for us and how special we are to him. Verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So there is that description of God. He will give us everything that we need because he is God, and he knows, and he cares, and he will give. So he clothes and feeds birds. We're more valuable. All right. So if we don't understand the care of God, we will struggle to trust him. All right. It will affect and it will hinder our faith. Okay, let's look at one more of this link between trusting God and his providing nature. Jesus, just the next chapter here, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, what was he likening this? Bread and fish. So in Jesus' day, this is what a lot of people ate every day. Bread and fish. And so what we need to sustain our life, if parents do that, and we can tell that they're evil, but yet they can still sustain their children, how much more does our Father in heaven sustain us? Amen. He's a providing Father. So again, if we don't understand his care and his nature, it'll really affect our faith. Now, if we don't understand his strategy of how he provides for us, then it will really, we will not understand our part to play, all right? And so if we understand that God is a providing Father, but we are expecting food to arrive on our kitchen table every morning, how many know we're going to be disappointed, right? Because there is a way and ways in which God has fashioned for provision to come into our life and on all the different things that we need in our life, okay? Now, we have to understand God's processes because then it affects the steps that we're going to take. All right, now, did you notice that in these human examples in the Bible, God taking care of his people, that God always left something for them to do? All right, manna that came from heaven and it would be on the ground, and the Bible says kind of like you would see dew in the morning, there would be manna on the earth. You had to go outside every day and pick it. You had to gather it, all right? In fact, you couldn't say, well, I'm going to gather for today and then, you know, that'll be enough for the week. It would go off. God wanted you to do it every day. And then you had to cook it. All right? You had to cook it. Haley, and my wife and I were watching a show yesterday, and it's kind of a goofy show. But anyway, you could order food in the jungle and a pizza would come from the sky. All right? That's not manna. All right? It came in a raw form, okay? So you had to gather it, you had to cook it, you had to make it in something that would then help you. Even when Jesus fed the 5,000, he partnered with a little boy. He multiplied what he had. And before the miracle happened, he told the disciples, all right, let's get organized here, okay? Jesus had wisdom about how to distribute food to the masses, all right? Remember last year here in Lusaka somebody didn't have as much wisdom as Jesus, unfortunately, right? That was a sad story, okay? So there was human participation in God's provision. And God's design from the beginning, from Genesis, was for us to participate with him for provision. He is the providing God. We look to him, and at the same time we're looking to him, we've got to go over to the thicket and get the ram. The ram didn't show up on the altar. You had to go get it. You had to go kill it. You had to prepare it. Okay? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. The Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth. Wouldn't that be his part? We can't make it rain, right? And, listen, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. So how does it work on the earth? God makes it rain. God designed the seed and the soil and put chemicals. He did all of that. But it takes man, it takes people to cultivate the soil. People are needed, all right? If you look around the world, how many of you know that, you know, you can find food kind of sometimes just, it grows wild in certain places, right? And so our neighbor has a tree and there's fruit, some wild fruit that comes into our house. That's kind of, well, it's, wow, it's like free wild food. It doesn't sustain us. If we wanted to feed our family, we would have to plant an orchard of those trees. Okay, what happens in the wild is not enough to sustain us. We need to participate. I don't know if you've gotten the memo that Saudi Arabia wants to buy 1 million goats from Zambia. Did you see that? Some of you might want to think about raising goats, right? Don't worry. If you sell goats to Saudi Arabia, you won't get any demons. Their money spends just as good as anybody else's money. Okay. Oh, I don't want to partner. Oh, no. Just sell them goats, all right? But how many of you know right now, there aren't 1 million goats just frolicking in the bush of Zambia? No, you've got to raise them. You've got to plan to produce them, all right? Now, here's the thing. Who made the goat? God made the goat. Who designed that they can reproduce? God did all that. So he has done all the heavy lifting as far as provision goes. And then he says, cultivate. All right? Do something. Look at Genesis 2:15. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to watch over it. He did not put man in the garden in a big chair with a Coca-Cola and a flat screen TV. That is not the picture of the garden. God put man in a garden and gave him a spade. Listen, this is Genesis 2. There's no sin. Well, I'm not under the curse. I know, neither was Genesis 2. There's not a curse in tending. There is a blessing in tending. It's God's design. In fact, when God set this up and he told them what to do, it says, and the Lord God blessed them. He blessed them to do what? To do work. Genesis 2:15, listen to this from the Message Bible. God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. To work the ground. Now later, obviously God makes a covenant with Abraham. That covenant is then codified and established at Sinai with Moses and the children of Israel. But do you remember that when God made the covenant, he gave them the Sabbath day as a day of rest? Okay? God did not give 4 days a week as the Sabbath rest. And you're supposed to be resting from your work. From your work. Some people are resting from their resting. Yeah. That is not God's design. And you can cry and squall and bawl, and you can get anointed oil and water. You cannot go against God's design and expect God to do his part. You can't, all right? Or it can't. That's a thing. That's a word. Okay. The work was before the fall. Now, what we saw, I think, last week is that after the fall, work did get more difficult because of sin. All right, now people cheat you, they lie, they steal fertilizer, right? So now we're trying to till the earth, and there's the curse of sin in the earth. Okay, so, but it's still possible. There's still the blessing of God and the help of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. This is speaking of the land that God wanted to take his people to, the promised land. Now, remember, they're on their way from Egypt. And in Egypt, their work, they were working as slaves. So their work was not necessarily benefiting their life. They were under oppression. They were under misery. And that is in no way God's plan for humanity. All right, so now they're out of that prison and that captivity and people who are treating them harshly. All right, God's taking them to a promised land. Okay, but notice as he describes this land. Therefore, Deuteronomy 8:6, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. All right, so this is all stuff that God has planned and designed in this land, a land to sustain them, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Whoa, 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 time out, olive oil? Does that mean when you're going to get to the promised land, you're just going to see jars of olive oil? Uh-uh. In that land, you can plant vines. You can plant olive trees. And then you press the oil. And you filter the oil. And then it becomes olive oil. So in that land, you're able to do that. Because in Egypt, you couldn't do that. You were under oppression. You were under this bondage. And it was a picture and a type of sin, wasn't it? All right? And so Satan is a cruel, cruel taskmaster, just like Pharaoh. But we're not under his dominion. Amen. We're not under the captivity of Satan anymore. All right? And so God is taking his people to a place, all right, all these things, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Again, how do you eat bread without scarcity? Because you can plant wheat. And then you can grind the wheat and make it into bread, and then you can eat it. It's not a land where there are ShopRites on every corner, and you have a heavenly debit card, and you just walk in. Right? That is not the picture. Amen. All right? Now, again, this is why sometimes, not always, but this is why sometimes I think people in the world are more blessed than Christians is because they're not silly enough to believe that. They have no expectation that God's going to, so I got to do everything. Well, at least they do something. All right? But then sadly, we've got people in Zambia who think miracle money's going to show up at your phone. Hallelujah. Okay. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Tell your neighbor, you got to dig. See, this is a privilege. God put the copper in the hills. Now, this is not, he's not talking about Zambia, all right? But it's a kind of a cool parallel here, right? But it is such a wonderful land. God put it in there, and now you can dig copper. So the idea is when God says, you can dig copper, people go, whoa, we can dig copper. Sometimes the mentality today is, God says, you can dig copper, and people go, you mean I have to work? I might get blisters on my
on my hands. That's going to be tiring.
Yes, and take a Sabbath day rest. Catch your breath and get back to work. Because God put copper in the hills. And it's not doing anything until it's gotten out of the hills. Tell your neighbor, I'm a digger. Amen. The promised land was a place where you dig copper. It was not a place where you found copper wire piled up in heaps. Big difference. It's where you plant. It's where you work. It's where you keep it in order. It's where you make it fruitful. Amen. Now, here's the thing. We do it with our providing God. We do it looking and seeing what he sees. All right? So many times, really the answer that God gives us in life is we are asking for our needs to be met, and God opens doors of opportunity. We need our needs to be met, and God gives opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land. All right, so in his kingdom, so we don't go outside of his land. We don't do corruption. We don't do sin, right? Amen. It really matters what we do and how we do it, because it needs to be in the land, in the kingdom, all right? But then what we put our hand to, he will bless it, all right? The Message Bible says, God will order a blessing on your barns and workplaces. God will order a blessing on your workplaces. If you don't have workplaces, God will not bless them. 1,000 times 0 is 0. Pastor, I thought you said you were going to encourage us today. This is encouraging. All right. It was literally a land of opportunity, as opposed to Egypt, we're oppressed. The wilderness, we're free, but it doesn't really work so great in the wilderness. All right. But God's taking us to a land where we get to work. All right. It was not a land of tables of food. Amen. Now, Paul gave a long discourse to a certain church that it seems like they were having some misunderstanding about this. And there were certain people in that church of Thessalonica that had other ideas about work and provision and responsibility and those things. And so Paul gives really excellent teaching here that is so consistent with what we just heard and the model that God set up in the earth. All right, so look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. What I think is helpful for us, whenever a writer in the New Testament is writing to a group of believers about a problem, and then that God saw to have that put into Scripture, is that we should realize that this probably is going to be a recurring problem in the Church of Jesus going forward. Okay? That what was an issue then may be an issue now, and we have God's word and God's instruction of how to overcome that issue. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. Let's emphasize the first part there. Stay away. Let that sink in. All right. Isn't that consistent with other parts of the Bible? to people who are thinking and acting crazy to need to stay away. Don't let them influence you, all right? Verse 7, for you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night. Everybody say day and night. Okay, so it didn't kill Paul. He's still alive. He's talking about it. He lived to tell the story. All right. So, and here's the reason. So we would not be a burden to you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, because Paul makes some explanation in other churches to say, hey, take care of people when they come and work among you. Take care of those teachers, all right? So that's not a bad thing. He said, we had a right to ask you to do that, but we wanted to give you an example of what? Of work, of working hard. We wanted to be an example to you. Even when we were with you, we gave you this command: those unwilling to work, everybody say unwilling. Okay, this is not the same as someone who is in a wheelchair. Okay, because there may be a willingness that they have a willingness, but they don't have the capacity or the ability. All right, but unwilling to work, and pretty much if you wake up in the morning, you can put on your own clothes. You can work, right? So those unwilling to work will not get to eat. But I thought, like, Paul invented grace. What's this? This doesn't sound like grace to me. Yet, we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work, and now you've got all this time meddling in other people's business. Get so busy, you don't have time for other people's business. Okay? We command. Notice this is not a suggestion. This is not, oh, I just want to share my heart with you. We love each other. We command such people. Now, what are these such people? Unwilling to work. They can, but they're unwilling to. They're meddling in other people's business. They refuse to work. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Amen. It's really good, to the food that you're eating. I paid for that food. I worked for the food that I ate. That is a Genesis 2 plan for people. Hallelujah. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. What Paul just said, that's good. Don't get tired of doing good. Take a Sabbath rest, right? Charge your batteries, and then let's keep in the field. Let's stay there, making a difference. All right, so if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Why? Because God doesn't want people to bypass his system. All right? So, for some of you, and I know first service, some of you are, some of you probably, another message you need to hear is slow down. Some of you. Okay? All right. Now, if you've already slowed down, I didn't say that. I didn't say that to you. All right. But we're looking for the provision of God in different areas of our life, okay? And so don't be surprised or disappointed when God answers your prayer with a job opportunity. Amen. I was looking at my uncle. Well, the Lord provides. The Lord is your provider. Okay? If you're a grown person, your uncle is not your El Shaddai. Yeah. He is not the Lord your provider. He wasn't designed by God to do that. Amen. And really, marriage was not meant as an economic plan. Okay? God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he handed them a scepter to rule and a shovel to work. And he blessed them. He blessed them. All right? Now, I know in our present day age, it's gotten weird on both sides, hasn't it? All right? So, there are, ladies who, they just seek out money, men with money. They seek them out, all right? And they will do whatever it takes, right? Sometimes just simply trading money for sex, all right? There is another word for that. When you trade your body in order to obtain money. Yeah, the Bible has this, doesn't call them sex workers, calls them whores. Okay? Sorry, the Bible. Okay? I don't typically use that word, but the Bible does. Okay, so, amen? So, but again, even if that's not the case, but the idea is that, I'm depending on this person for all my supply, all right? And then, a few years ago, a lot of institutions and companies all around our nation figured out, man, women are really smart. I think we're going to start hiring women a lot. Have you noticed that? Yes. All right? And so there are now women all over our city and nation that are doing really responsible stuff and getting paid a lot to do that responsible stuff, all right? And so then on the other hand, then there are men who maybe didn't necessarily seek out, someone like that, but when they find out that my wife can work all day and take care of the kids and cook, and I can kind of chill, all right? I want to say something, please. There is a word for that. When you have a woman that takes care of you, it's called a mother. Okay? Yeah. So I'm pretty sure your wife signed up to be your wife, not your mother. She would love to lose that job. All right? So, let God bless your workplace. Let God bless what you put your hand to. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can figure it out, and there's wisdom, and my goodness, and especially in Lusaka, anything you want to do in life, you can get trained to do that in Lusaka. I mean, the learning institutions that are here, and there's online learning. And man, if honestly, today, if you're an adult and you're ignorant, it's your choice. That can change, like, immediately. You can figure stuff out, all right? And you can get training, and you can learn and enhance the skills that you need to go till. Hallelujah. All right, so let's trust him today. Amen. Let's trust him that he is a provider, and he cares, deeply. And he wants us to be sustained in every area of our life, all the time. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, always having our needs met, being a blessing to other people. But we have to accept the way that God designed for this to work. Amen? So, let's talk to him right now. And What I'd ask you to do is, as we pray right now, if you're mad at me, get over your anger at me. And let's ask the Lord. Let's seek him, all right? Because he has answers for us, doesn't he? Father, we look to you right now. And Father, I realize that, Lord, individuals, families, Father, in this auditorium, Father, there are really legitimate needs. And Father, some of them are really significant. Others, Lord, there's questions. What do I do? How do I do it, God? And Father, what we see from your word today is that, boy, are you interested in that. You come into that place with us. And you are our provider and you're the designer of sustainable life. And so, Father, we seek you and look to you. Father, I ask for, Lord, maybe those who have questions, God. Lord, specific questions of what do I take? Do I keep this job? Do I open up a business for myself? Do I quit my job? Do I go back to school? God, what about my spouse? God, right now, we seek you. We look to you. Father, Lord, my wife, Pastor Haley and I, Lord, we look to you right now. We ask you, Lord, help us, show us. May our work honor you and bless you. May it reflect you, who you are, how you do things, God. Oh, Father, be glorified. Bless our workplaces. Father, thank you. Lord, maybe it's a coffee that we need to have with somebody. Maybe it's a book that we need to pick up. Maybe it's a class, a course. Father, wisdom from you or just simply trusting you in this moment, God. We look to you in Jesus' name. We look to you in Jesus' name. Christians, I really just ask God, seek him right now. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do what is right, his righteousness. Oh, and you're going to see incredible results. While you're praying with every head, every eye closed, you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I have a need, but it's not just school fees. I have a need because I don't know Jesus. I don't know where I'm going when I die. My life just seems to not have a purpose. It's meaningless. You see, religion can't fill that hole. There's not another person that can fill or money that can fill that hole inside of your heart. Only Jesus Christ can. And you can invite him into your life. You can make him your Lord and your Savior today. You see, he has provided for you by shedding his blood for your sins. All the wrong things that you've ever done, he has already paid that price. Now you can believe that. You can receive him. Open up your heart to him today. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian that's not okay with God and you know that. Well, today, come home. Come home, receive forgiveness, receive restoration in Jesus' name. How does that happen? A prayer from your heart that you pray to God. And when you mean it, he'll do all of what he said. He'll forgive you. He'll make you his child. Heaven will become your home. And right now, you can receive him. We'd like to pray together. And so that we can pray together, nobody's looking around. But right now, if you say, that's me, I want to receive Jesus. I need to come home back from a place of there's been rebellion and sin. Lift up your hand real, real high. Wave it at me. Just lift it up real, real high and wave it at me and say, that's me. I'm receiving Jesus. I'm saying yes to him. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Thank you so much for saying yes. Over here, yes, God bless you, sir. Right here, right in the middle, thank you. You might just sense right on the inside, thank you, ma'am, that God's dealing with your heart. He's saying, do this. This is for you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God helping you to say yes. Go ahead, who else would say, that's me, Pastor? I want to give my heart to Jesus. All right, can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to go real shortly. But those of you who lifted up your hand, let's do what we said. Let's pray. Let's ask God. And so if you lifted up your hand, just grab your handbag or Bible or whatever you brought with you to church and come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap. Right here, right there, over there. Yeah, come on. thank you so much for saying yes. God has such a great plan. You lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have lifted up my hand. Well, come. Come and receive what God has for you. Oh, he loves you. He loves you so much. Thank you, sir, for coming. Now, if this was a gift, right? And so, right, a gift we receive, don't we? We reach out and receive. So to, as a sign, as we're praying today, that we're receiving a gift. Thank you, ma'am. Let's just lift up one of our hands towards God in heaven and say these words from our heart. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was raised from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn to you. I leave sin, every wrong thing. I leave it in the past, and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm in your family. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.